No, I've seen Superman before. We've seen him.
Do something, you can't do it. Grab the van again, but this time look at me. Believe you can. Say, I can do this.
I can do this.
You got this. You're actually moving it.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
You got this.
Last push.
Oh,
let's go. Yo, yo, careful, careful, careful.
Oh my gosh.
Yo. Oh my god. Yeah, yeah, bro.
You just lifted that car.
Imagine the life hacks you could pull off if you had some superpowers. Just imagine it. What is one thing right now that you could do that would just be unbelievable if you had a superpower, whatever that could be? I mean, just imagine, listen to these kids. They talk about the anticipation of what it would be like or what superpower they would choose.
What superpower would you want?
Potato power. Fresh, delicious potatoes.
What superpower would you want?
Speed power.
How come?
Because I like to be like Flash.
Super speed?
Super speed.
Like the Flash.
Yeah, totally.
Because then I'll steal people's stuff while I'm running.
Fire power.
Breathe fire like a dragon.
I wish I could shoot fire from my eyes. Like cook stuff very fast.
What superpower would you want?
I'd want to stop time. My mom was about to say, get ready for school. And then instead of that, get ready for...
Probably time travel.
Go back in time.
Be able to do time travel.
Why?
So I can, redo all the stuff I did bad and make sure that didn't happen.
If you could have any superpower, what would you want?
Teleportation.
Why? What's wrong with planes or driving?
Because I either puke or I pee my pants or something.
Super strength, like the Hulk.
What would you do with that?
You smash people, bad people.
Probably being able to fly.
Flying.
Flying.
Fly.
Fly.
Flying.
Fly.
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 Flying unicorn.
I'm super fast.
Flying.
Faster than the speeding jet.
I want to be invisible.
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 Invisibility.
Invisibility.
Not being seen.
Because I can sneak into places where I shouldn't be.
So I can sneak some candy.
Get midnight snacks.
I want to control the weather. I can make every day sunny with no cloud in the sky.
I wish I could read every language.
Because you can almost accomplish anything.
Superhero, so I can eavesdrop on anyone.
You wouldn't want to just be able to, read minds?
No, that would be sick too, yeah.
What superpower would you like to have? Tell you, I would love the potato one. Never heard that one before? On-demand potatoes. So they have to be special kinds of potatoes, cream or sour cream, lots of butter, salt, and that would be pretty good. Just go, and there's some potatoes to eat. So anyway, so superpowers, we think about them and what we would accomplish, the life hacks. Again, we're making a big distinction between life hacks and shortcuts. Shortcuts are the easy way. Shortcuts come back to haunt you. Where life hacks, they set you in motion so that good things are going to happen. And there's smarter ways to do things rather than going all the way through the maze and just being distracted. So, life hacks when you just need a better way. And we're looking at this as we walk through some of the passages in Ephesians. So again, one superpower, what would it be? Anyone out there? What would your superpower be? Just yell it out.
Stop the rain.
Stop the rain. A weather guy. So he could mow. I would say stop the grass from growing so I didn't have to mow. All right. That's somebody else. Way back there. Go ahead. Super. Hot dogs. So you can make hot dogs. I love hot dogs too. We could get together. I could do the potatoes. You could do the hot dogs. All right. Somebody else. A superpower.
No sleep.
That would be a great superpower, wouldn't that be? That you didn't need sleep? Or you could put people to sleep. Actually, that's my superpower. I can put you to sleep. Just watch it happen. All right, what else? Anyone else with a superpower thinking about it when you were, I mean, come on. You got to be honest with me. When you were a kid, you wished you could do some superpower. Diane?
Change people's attitudes.
Change people's attitudes. Yes, that would be awesome for me. That would have to deal with my own attitude first. But anyway, but yes, that would be nice. One more?
Time travel.
Time travel. That would be could be pretty good. All right. All right, so these superpowers, what would they be and all these kind of ideas? You know, as we're talking about this, I almost entitled the message Superpower, but I felt that would be a bait and switch kind of thing because the title of today's message is Submission. What a downer. Oh, nobody likes that word. Nobody likes, well, we like it when someone submits to us, follows our lead. We're not talking about being like super domineering. I'm not talking about submitting because you're a doormat or something. But sometimes we do have to kind of submit, and it feels like we're kind of getting walked on. But this idea of submission, when you and I understand that God's best from last week, and we understand that making God's best is our own is what we ought to do. Making God's best our best, a part of that, or significant a part of that, is submission. Now, this is down in your notes a little bit earlier, or farther down, but let me just read it to you now. You must love each other just as I love you. This is how everyone will recognize or know that you are my followers, that you're Christians. When they see the love you have for each other. And a lot of that love gets expressed under the umbrella of submission, of backing off, of letting someone else be in the forefront. And that is a life hack. That is a superpower. And if you are a Christ follower, you are equipped with the superpower of submission, of not being in the front, not being first, not having it always go your way. You pull back and you submit. Just a few months or so ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and the night that Jesus is portrayed, he practices submission. Not my will, Father, but your will. And he submits to the Father. And that's a mark of following Christ. And the way we do that is we express love through our submission. Sometimes our submission is pretty horrendous, but we submit to other people. We let other people. And, you know, we live in a world, you know, where, I don't know about you, but you probably wouldn't want to go on vacation with me. Last summer, we had a vacation where it was Cindy's family. It was our three daughters. One was married. Then there was Little Rivers, which that was a delight. But then there was the two others, you know, and they had their significant others. And we're all at this house. And it was a good size house, but it was still a house, you know. And we're all in there. And everything from preparing meals to what are we watching on TV? Is you want to watch a movie tonight? Well, I hate that movie. I like that movie. I hate that movie. I like that movie. How about this movie? The guys just like that. You know, just on and on and on. And the way we had to demonstrate love to each other was submit to other people. And it was hard, especially if you're used to being kind of like the leader, the one that's moving forward. It's like usually goes your way. And, you know, Cindy's very nice to me, and usually I can set some direction and those kinds of things, and that's wonderful. But when I'm with all the other family, I got these young upstart, you know, son-in-laws, you know, who want their way. No, we shouldn't do this. I'm like, wait a minute, we're doing this. No, we're doing, you know. So all this submission, you know what I'm talking about. So we have the superpower to do that. And as we saw a little bit last week, it all hinges on instead be filled with the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit, a person of the Trinity. When you say yes to Christ, they come and join your life. And now you are equipped to submit. You're equipped to love when it is difficult to love, when there's somebody that it's hard to love. You now are equipped when you are filled with the Spirit. And often we need to be filled with the Spirit minute by minute, especially when you get into some of those, you know, potential conflicts and someone's got to back down. It's got to go somebody else's way. We're not talking about doing things that are necessarily wrong, but, you know, let's go play mini golf. No, let's just stay home and, you know, sit on the, you know, the water or whatever. Those kinds of things. Someone has to submit. We're all wired differently. What kind of food we like, what kind of food we don't like, just goes on and on. So we need to be filled with the Spirit, and that gives us our superpower. Last week, we saw that superpower of being filled with the Spirit, and then the way it shows up in our life is speaking. We talked about that last week, singing, thanking, and we just kind of like bounced off the top of it when it came to submission. Verse 21 says, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And some would say, wow, that introduces what comes next, 22, 23, on and on. Some of people say that sums up what he just has spoken of in verses 17, 18, 19, 20. And it's a great transition. It takes what has been said and what is going to be said, and I think it bridges it all together. So further, because you're filled with the Spirit, regularly filled, everyone who's a Christ follower is filled. We all have the Spirit. It's not for some elite, super spiritual person. Yes, there's different capacities. We have different lung capacities. You know, I got to see our little grandson, the new one, Ira, the other day. And, you know, I'm watching his holding him. He's going, you know, I'm watching his chest go up and down. Is he breathing? You know, but it's going little breaths, you know, and he's filling his lungs to full capacity for his age. I'm hopefully filling my lungs for full capacity at my age. I can hold more air in my lungs. As a Christ follower, as you grow and mature in Christ, your capacity hopefully is expanding. Those of us who have had situations where we've had a really bad cold, pneumonia, or whatever, and, you know, our breath is just not there, know how tough it is when you don't have that capacity. So we want to stretch you. I remember one time I had some blood clot things going on. This is years ago, and they had this thing you stick in your mouth, and you have to blow as hard as blow harder, you know, and this little blue thing moves like a, you know, little bit, and, you know, and Cindy would always go, "Have you done your breathing thing?" So you're trying to get that capacity back. As a Christ follower, leaning in, we talked about God's best last week, leaning into that helps our capacity, our breathing, our lungs, so that we can be filled with the Spirit at our age and stage in life. So, you know, don't get down because somebody else seems to have more of the Spirit. It's not that they have more, their capacity is different. And don't get superior because someone doesn't have to see much capacity because they're just starting out. So we have this filling regularly, breathing in of the Spirit, in a sense, into our lives, letting Him follow, letting us follow His lead. And that helps us in all four of these areas, especially the reality of submitting. And we've already talked about the need for submitting, the fact that we're just different people. It amazes me. I mean, downright amazes me that a church family can kind of get along. All of us are from different walks of life. We've had different experiences. We have different, I don't want to say values, but different preferences, and they're hardcore for us. We have different matters of conscience. We've talked about that later. Different ways we size something up, conjecture. We have different choices we make, and yet we can get together around the purpose and mission, a vision of pointing people to Christ and growing in them, making a difference, loving and living like Jesus. But we have to be really careful about, you know, again, about how we navigate that. I'm amazed at larger churches. I go, how do they do that? They've just multiplied their people and their preferences and their views. And that to me is just a testimony to Christ just moving in there. They're on the same page. So this idea, again, this reality for submitting, we need it. We have to have it. When you think of us submitting, you get this idea, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another, lifting them up, standing underneath them in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. This idea of this unity, of this submitting, this organic relationship. Some of us have gotten used to this, and we're close friends. We got close friends, they're walks of different life, and yet we can navigate that through that, where we share, where there's a unity there. And so the reality of submitting is just totally, totally necessary. When I think of submitting, you think of, it's actually a military term. It's used over 40 times in the New Testament, so it's definitely not a one little word idea over here. It's 40 times. That's weight. This idea of submitting, and it's a military term of like the soldiers organizing on the field. And if you've ever seen some of these presentations where they're marching around and doing all the stuff and the flags and the guns are going, you know, and all this kind of thing. And there's someone over that. There's someone, they're all submitting to their direction. It doesn't mean that one person's better than the other. It just means that one person is like just running things. I didn't have time to do this, but I know you would love this, and I actually, I'm pretty happy I didn't probably find it, but I was actually in the marching band once. And I even had the cone head. It looked like a Q-tip on my head, you know, the white thing. And it was black and orange, Ipswich Tigers, and I had a cape, you know, and I played the baritone horn, and we would show up at parades and would march, and I wasn't going to last at this. I couldn't play and march at the same time. Was one or the other. It was better for me to march because my playing was so bad. So if you had to choose between, and we had marched around a baritone, you know, playing around, and it was like we played it. This was in the glory days where we had to play it every single football game, home and away. But there was one person who oversaw the whole thing, like the band director, and she would get out there and she'd do her little thing, and you know, and just, you know, get everybody to do their thing, and it was just, she just had us all moving where we're supposed to be moving, and all that kind of thing. And I'm sure there were some people playing that were better musicians, and she was just the one that we were all submitting to, go here, do this, do that, you know, in this beat, she kept the cadence up and all those kinds of things. It's the same thing. We submitting. We start submitting God. Again, we're going to unpack this more next in 2 weeks. But just this idea, this reality that it needs to be a part of us. Alert at noticing differences, and this is great, and quickly mending fences. Not alert at noticing differences and quickly pointing them out. You are called to travel on the same road. That's the road of Great Commission, Great Commandment. And in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. Just don't go through the motions and stuff everything inside, because eventually it comes out. Doesn't mean you should just blow up all the time, but it means you need to process what's going on inside. If you're moving in a direction and you're stuffing, 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 stuffing all the time, you need to deal with that. Both outwardly and inwardly. Doesn't mean we're clones. But we're going this, we're hungry to see people reach for Christ and grow in Christ, and we're a part of that journey ourselves. You have one master. Do we even look at Jesus as being our master, our Lord and Savior? I like Savior. I like friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I like that. I don't know if I like master. I don't think I have choices when my master says something to me. So one master, one faith, one baptism, one identifying with Christ, one God and one Father of all who rules over all. Here's that word again, master rules. Don't like that word, rules. Works through all and is present in all. Everything you are and think is and do is permeated with oneness. Is that really true? Think of that word and think, does someone come in here and smell oneness? Do they smell we're on the same page? What do they smell when they come in here? Do they smell pride? Do they smell arrogance? Do they smell, I'm a mess. No, you're a mess, and you're messier than me. What do people smell? What's the feel of the church, family, the community? It's supposed to be oneness, not cloneness, but oneness. We're rowing in the same direction, and that takes priority. That's the bottom line. We're after that together. And we all bring our differences, and that makes us stronger, not weaker. I really want to believe that. I really want to function out of that. That, wow, you think that way? This is not an accident. How do we put that all together and make a better whatever? That idea of oneness. But it takes still some submission. We're going to submit to one another all the time. It should almost become so natural that we don't even know we do it. In 2 weeks, we talk about wives. Submit to your husbands. Yeah, I'm not even going to say it out loud yet. We talk about that passage. We'll unpack it. Sometimes I go, I never really asked Cindy to, like, I'm putting the foot down, I'm the man, kind of thing. That really never happens. I don't know if she'd allow me to do that. Or, probably better, is she so good and so organic about it that I don't even know when she's doing it. And hopefully, and we'll talk about this idea of submitting to one another. I think there's some one another stuff, and I do think there is someone has to be, the buck stops with someone. Again, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But there are times where, I submit to her, so there's got to be this fluidity to this and all of that. That's the reason I like to eat. So anyway, just this idea. So pride obviously gets in the way. So we need to be pride free. And pride free doesn't mean you don't want to take pride in doing a good job. Some of us need to up that game. I need to be doing a good job. Just because God's made me, I need to do a good job. I need to just slip through, slide through. But pride free. And that really is what we see in Christ. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. So this whole idea of, again, being pride free, you don't see pride in Jesus. Anyone should have been like, hey, I'm the man. Did you see that miracle over there? Wow, whoa, you don't see him doing that at all. I mean, not even a little bit. I mean, hey, that was pretty cool. And I calmed the, you don't see that happening. And, so pride free and not thinking too much of yourself, being humble, your abilities under management, under control. Do you always have to flaunt? Do you always have to one up with a better story? And you're going to say, Dave, I've heard you do that. I really try to guard myself because, someone tells a story and I go, oh, I know a story like that, but it's more funnier than that story. And I have to, I'm going to say, Dave, you don't do a good job with this. But I try, or you say, Dave, your story's never better. But anyway, whatever you say, but, I have to guard myself and say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and let that person enjoy telling that story and enjoy being in the limelight. Sometimes when it comes to skills, do you reach over somebody doing something technical? And unless something's going to blow up, do you reach over, oh, no, you're doing that wrong, you just take over? Or do you let them do it and discover, oh, I need to do this a little bit differently? And then, you know, do you always have to be first because you do that? Do you humble and you submit? Also, this idea of being perfect free. Again, this isn't to be sloppy. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us. This idea of all of us are broken people. Again, that doesn't allow for sloppiness, doesn't allow for meanness. It doesn't, well, you know, you should have seen me 10 years ago when I was really, really not a nice person. I'm much nicer than that. So does that mean you stop being even growing in niceness or whatever, kindness? No, you keep growing in that. But the idea that none of us are perfect. All of us are on this journey, so we don't have that vibe when someone comes into these four walls, comes into this building, or comes to an event. Oh, they're the church for perfect people because, you know, they at least pretend they're perfect. We all know that no one's perfect, and they just hide their imperfectness. But, you know, I've seen them at work. I know what kind of neighbor they are. I saw them at that town meeting. I saw them there, you know, but they act like they're perfect. So a perfect free zone. Also, this idea of a performance free zone. We're not trying to perform to one up. I kind of already talked about that with the stories. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything that you size up in your life of worth has been given to you. Even the things that you've been a part of developing and strengthening in your life. All of that. The opportunity to develop has been given to you. Yes, you worked hard. Yes, you didn't waste it. But the whatever started with God giving it to you. Never take an arrogant pride in your abilities and your aptitude and your all of that. Performance-free zone. It doesn't mean fake. You know, oh, yeah, I'm really not. You know, sometimes somebody will say, oh, I'm really not good at that. And, you know, they're trying to be modest or they're faking being modest because they wanted to hear you say, oh, no, you're really good at that. And, that whole game, we're not talking that. But just a performance-free. We're going to do the best we can. We function at our capacity. But when someone comes in, they don't feel like it has to be here or they're out or they're not accepted or they're looked down upon or they just need to sit in a seat and not do that. There's room for growth. Of course, there's the resource for submitting, our superpower, and that is the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he's writing Ephesians, is writing to Christ followers. I'm writing to God's holy people. That doesn't mean self-righteous people. It means people that are living their lives aligned to God's ways the best way they can. And they're making progress in that. They're on the path of righteousness. We're living separate unto his way. Not just doing like these little token things. It's like our all life. We're all in. This isn't like you're doing it on the side. You're all in. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. If we're faithful, then we understand that the Spirit has to be the energizer in us when we're moving along. A little bit halfway through, it says, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. And you say, if he's the source, if he's the resource for our ability to submit and many other things demonstrating the love of Christ, we need to make sure that we're not grieving him, that we're not getting static on the line so that when we're in communication with him, when he's speaking and prompting our hearts, we don't have so many calluses there that we're just not aware of that. We don't want to grieve him. You say, what are the things to grieve him? When we don't obey. I'm sorry, if God is, if Jesus is the master, if God's our heavenly Father, and the Spirit is within us, then we as Christ followers, there's no way to soften it, need to obey and follow him. And most of the stuff is pretty clear cut. It's not a mystery. Oh, should I be nice to that person? What does God say? I don't have to think about that. Should I lie? Should I hold back some of the information so that it goes the way I want it to go, or that person looks the way I want them to look, even though that if they knew the other piece of information, it would change everything? What do I do? Don't grieve the Spirit, because when you grieve the Spirit, that's like your kryptonite. You know, Superman, kryptonite, you know, all of a sudden they have the amazing powers, and you see these scenes in Superman movies, you know, and the sun gives him the strength, and again, the sun, we could say the Son of God gives us our strength, the Holy Spirit gives our strength, but our kryptonite is when we just ignore him, and then we don't have our superpowers. Then, yes, it is going to be hard to be a submitting Christ follower, you can't do it. You really can't do it. If you're grieving the Spirit and you're trying at the same time to be submitting and have this spirit of unity, I'm going to say it's almost impossible to do it in your own strength. It's just going to be a battle. It's your sheer will without God leading you. And when it's just me, nothing goes right, even if my intentions are right. But how could my intentions be right? Because I'm grieving God's Spirit. Most intimate. You know, when we get to heaven, the next chapter of life, our relationship with God is going to be like this. Right now, we have moments that are like this. So the Spirit, who cares about all the bennies of heaven? What's going to be awesome about the next chapter of life is you are going to be uninterruptedly one with God. Not being God, but you're going to be so tight with the Spirit. You're going to be so tight with God. And that's what we're looking for. That's the hole in our life, the hole in our heart. And we get, yes, it's filled. Yes, positionally, we're righteous, but we're not. The work hasn't been completed in us. Christ is doing that. So breathe in the Spirit, if you will, figuratively. You don't really do that. But invite him into your life by obeying him. And don't take it for granted. Have you ever been taken for granted as a friend? It hurts. And usually you back off a little bit. It's not that God unforgives you. It's not that you're not still a child of God, but the relationship isn't tight. And he backs off. He goes, you know, if you want to do your own thing, go see how that works for you. And that's kind of the best thing he could do. He needs to let things unfold and fall apart and unravel when we're kind of doing our own thing. So don't grieve the Spirit. And obviously then when we're not grieving the Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit just are produced in our lives. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things or these things. And we want those in our life. That helps us to be able to submit to one another. Our joy isn't riding on the fact it has to be our way all the time. Our joy is in the fact that we're walking with God or we're seeing God show up in other people's lives. Because we got to realize it is not about us. It's not about us. It's not about my likes, your likes. It's okay to have likes, but to make sure they're not about just you. There are a couple items. I wish there was more items that I didn't like to eat, but there are a couple items that I do not like to eat, and they end up being in our house. It's not because it's, my house, our house. No, we're not going to eat. It's not all about me. You know, if dad wants to eat or people want to eat sweet potato in my house, I'll allow it. Even if they put that marshmallow, anyway, I allow it, because it's not about me. I'm not going to eat any but it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. And love one another in the same way that I loved you, Jesus says, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple, my follower, when they see the love you have for each other. And I'm going to say it's expressed through submitting to one another. Again, I didn't want to bait and switch. I didn't want to message superhero, superpower. Oh, I can't wait to find out. No, this is kind of like one of those superpowers I don't know. I'm going to use it. But I want to say the more you lean into it, the more you use it, the more you find that it's natural because it's reflecting the spirit in your life, who you're trying not to grieve. On your think it over section, talk it over section, we've got a list of these one another, submitting to one another by forgiving one another, instructing one another, bearing one another, admonishing one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, doing good to one another, caring for one another, welcoming one another. And then if you go to that website, not right now, if you go there, you'll find just a great organizational thought about these one another's. So we get to the reality, the resource, and then it is also the reason for submitting. Why? Why do we do that? Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God. First time we use that verse, it said reverence. Reverence is a little softer. Respect for God, honoring God, supporting God, whatever. A lot of little translations because we don't like the idea of fearing God. We sang songs today about not fearing. Fearing our fearing those kinds of things, but not fearing them because God is with us. God is bigger. But because God is bigger, we ought to be captivated, our breath taken away by the fact that he is God. Philippians, every knee will bow in the presence. They'll be trembling. Dad and I were talking about this week, and we miss out on this because we rebelled against our king a couple hundred years ago, right? We got rid of that king. You know, we're not subject to any. Sometimes I wish we'd go back and have a king, but that's another story. So maybe Great Britain would take us back. No, I'm just kidding. We're just not used to taking it. Sometimes you see those, like, swashbuckling sword things, and the king comes in, it's King Arthur, and it's almost immediately they're down on their knees, oh, my liege, you know, all this kind of stuff. We're like, no, we're Americans. We don't do that. Sorry. God is your liege. You will take a knee. There's some thoughts about that passage that talks about every knee will bow. That means like everybody, even the people that have shaken their fist at God all their life will have to take a knee and they will have no choice. There'll almost be no resistance because God will just, their mind will just be, it will just blow their minds and they'll be on their knee. The lion, you know, we think of the Lamb of Judah, but the Lion of Judah. Fear of God. Have we gotten sloppy with our fear for God? Sooner or later, will all, Christ follower or not Christ follower, and if you're not a Christ follower, you're going to, oh, I really don't like the idea of this. Well, I get that. I would be practicing spiritual mispractice to kind of hold back in this area and say, oh, yeah, you should just be kind of respectful to God, honor God. No, fear God. Sooner or later, we'll have to face God regardless of our conditions. We will appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a result of our actions, either good or bad. Someone said, will there be, you know, in heaven, those of us who have known Christ, will we be like punished or something? There's some idea that our faithfulness, the way we've engaged our world because of the Spirit in our lives, the filling of the Spirit, that is going to be measured. That is going to be evaluated. And we're going to have to answer for that. There's passages in that we're going to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus because Jesus enabled us to do these good things. So we give them back to him because it's not because of me, it's because of Jesus in my life. But the other idea is I don't want to show up on that moment and Jesus is on this big throne. I can't even imagine what that's like. And I get down, I take my knee, and I have nothing to lay at his feet. Doesn't mean he kicks me out because I didn't earn my way. It's because of his sacrifice, his resurrection, that I'm at heaven. I've placed my trust in that. But boy, I hope there's something to lay at his feet. Fortunately, Christ measures our motives, figures that all out. But it's going to happen. It's just not the person that's ever says no to God over and over and over and over again. We, even us who are Christ followers, say no to God occasionally. We're going to have to answer for that. That should make you, that should bother you, Christ follower. That should cause you sometimes in the middle of the night to be bothered by that. Am I being faithful? Not because I need to earn God's love, but because I love God. I want to be faithful. There is this idea, there's these parables about being a good steward with our life. And the different people, different amounts, different results. But the one that does nothing, there's a lot of theological discussion about this. But he's in trouble. You can at least agree with that. He's in trouble because he buried his talents and didn't use them. So there's nothing wrong with this. The next verse says that keeps us vigilant. You can be sure. It's no light thing to know that we'll all one day stand in the place of judgment. That's why we work urgently with everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. I love that last sentence. It's just not about getting me ready to face God. I care about other people. I don't want people that I was supposed to influence not to be ready. I don't want to be an obstacle to people because I've been superficial with my faith. I've been two-faced with my faith. I don't want someone to say, the reason I didn't really follow God is because of Dave Spencer. Now, they're going to be responsible for their own life, but I own some of that. You look at Old Testament, blood on my hands, if you will. I don't want that. And I don't want to want it just so I don't get in trouble. I don't want to, I didn't really want to get slapped on my hand because I wasn't a good steward. Now I'm in trouble. No, I want to, I actually care about that person. It's urgent. God alone knows how well we do this. Yeah, I like that. God alone, not your other person sitting next to you. But I hope you realize how much and deeply we care. Paul is saying, yes, urgent, yes, facing God. There ought to be some fear and trembling to that, facing Jesus Christ. But the reason I try to live a faithful life, a submitting life, a living for others life, is because I care about other people and I want to see them come to Christ. So because of that, Paul in other places says, I put up with basically anything. What's your tipping point? I can put up with that, but not this. And I go, wait a minute. Should I be able to put up with more when it means me being an influence in someone else's life? Or say, I'm not doing that. That's too much. That's not submitting to the will of God in your life. How much do you care? Where's that tipping point? How much will your faith inconvenience you when reaching out to other people? And some of you who are kicking the tires of faith are going, yeah, because I've experienced a lot of Christians that won't be inconvenienced by me. They're not going to have their nice little neat life messed up with the messiness that I bring to the table. Doesn't mean that I like the messiness, but that's who I am right now. That's where I'm starting point. And since they don't accept that, I'm just going to push. I'm not. They don't want to be inconvenienced with me, so that kind of proves they're really not as loving as they say they are, and all of that stuff. Oh, let's see. Where is that verse? Oh, we'll go this. So we live in a tension. The church then had peace. You can look at the background. Throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it became stronger as believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It also grew in numbers. It had influence. Again, it's not about filling seats. It's about filling hearts. If you go back on your own and look at Acts 5, you're going to see this story about Ananias and Sapphira, and they get into this crazy thing where they lie to God. They get taken out, and it creates fear. But we live in this tension. We've got the comfort of God, but the fear of God. And it's just where we live. A lot of us like to live in tension-free lives. We like to tie it up in a bow so we don't have to live in tension. This is tension. Fearing, respecting, not being, showing contempt for God, but also knowing he's our friend, he's our father, the Spirit lives within us, he's at home with us, and how all that goes, but we're just a little more careful. We just don't take him for granted. You know, I've seen once in my life that I'm aware of where someone was off the rails, totally off the rails, and the Lord took him home. I guarantee you that's what happened. I can only articulate. And that made me think about Ananias and Sapphira. Woo, would that change things? If I went a little too far, God would say, you know, you're going to do so much damage for my name on planet Earth, I'm going to bring you up to heaven because I don't want to deal with that. That's exactly what happened. That person was going to do headline news damage, and it was over because he was over. I think he knew the Lord, but that's, you know, and we don't talk, I don't like to talk stories like that, but maybe we need to hear a little bit more of that. That needs to be increased a little bit more in our lives. This love, this submitting. I want to end with this story about Julian the Apostate. He was a Roman emperor, and according to what I read about him, is he was one of the last emperors that really gave Christianity a hard time. He was in the, let me just get to a page, here we go. He ruled from 361 to 363. He was after Constantinople, who acknowledged Christian faith. And, you know, and he was trying to get people back on the Roman God plan. And he's writing some friend of his about dealing with these impetuous Galileans, he calls them, that's Christians. And he says, these impetuous Galileans support our poor in addition to their own, that ours are seen to be in want of from aid from us. In other words, he's saying, we're trying to recapture the hearts of the people for the cause of our Roman gods, and it's impossible because these Galileans, these Christians, love on people so much. They love on their own people, but they even love on people we're supposed to be loving on. They submit. And if you know the history, they would go into these places where there was a plague, and the Christians would serve everyone and put their life at risk. Unbelievable. He acknowledged that. He says, it's so frustrating because we can't overcome that. Again, that is our superhuman thing. Our superpower is the love of Christ demonstrated in submitting. To submit to one another is to be filled with another. And that obviously is the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thinking about what was going on in the early church almost 1,700 years ago, this submitting, this demonstrating love by being inconvenienced, by even putting your life on the line is just unbelievable. These folks were filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. Father, I ask that those of us who know you as our Lord and Savior, would pray and think about what it would take for our lung capacity, if you will, for your spirit to be increased so that we can submit to you, so we can submit to others, so we can demonstrate your love, so our lives can matter in impacting other people. And Father, I ask if there's someone here today that has not said yes to you, that this would be the day they settle their accounts. They say, the Lord, I want you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I want to start walking with you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And the power of your resurrection gives me hope that this is real. So I want to follow you. And would this be the first day of that trek? And would they start to feel their lungs, if you will, again, being filled with your spirit? Father, we need to do a better job as Christ followers, not just for our own sake of being comfortable, but for the sake of the souls of those around us. We ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for being here together with us today, both in person and online. We're so glad that you've been here and been a part of this experience. And we're here that we have Bill and Lori Levine down front if you'd like to talk with someone or pray with someone. And hopefully you've had something throughout this morning's experience that's been engaging and challenging to your heart. We hope that you have a good week. Thank you so much.